You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
We have to change the culture of America. Those of us who are proudly pro-life understand that. And it's got to be courage and compassion that we show to a young woman who's facing this terribly difficult decision.
Last night was the first time abortion came up in the three presidential debates that have taken place, a development worth noting given the issue's importance to evangelicals who've been some of the most reliable Republican voters. This election, we've talked about how the evangelical vote this time around may not be driven by one or two social issues. That's particularly true between white and black evangelicals who, though they share religious beliefs, have voted on opposite sides of the spectrum for decades. For more, we welcome back Randall Balmer, a professor of American religious history at Columbia University. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Lisa Sharon Harper, the executive director of New York Faith and Justice.
Thank you.
Glad to have both of you here. Mm-hmm. So the first time, here we have three debates. In the middle of the very last debate, the issue of abortion and the Supreme Court comes up. Randall, what do you make of that?
Well, I think the abortion discussion, or what passes for debate in this country over abortion, is really getting a bit tired. The two sides are so entrenched that there's no meaningful discussion. And I've been advocating for a long time changing the terms of the discussion and addressing the issue of abortion as a legal issue and then also as a separable moral issue. I think that would bring clarity to the discussion. And we just haven't had that level of discussion. And I think a lot of people are just getting tired of it. Not that it's not an important issue on both sides of the matter for a lot of folks, but they're just getting tired of these abortion wars. And as I pointed out, I hate to repeat myself on Monday from the Monday program, but by my calculation from February 1st, 2006, when Samuel Alito was sworn onto the Supreme Court until January 3rd, 2007, when the new Democratic majorities took control of Congress, the Republican Religious Right Coalition controlled all three branches of the federal government. And yet, during that time, they made no effort whatsoever to outlaw abortion, their stated goal.
That's an interesting topic, and maybe we'll have you come back and talk about that. Well, Lisa, what do you make of it? It's sort of late in the 11th hour coming up.
Yeah, I think actually I would agree, but I would also think there's another way that this has gone down. If you were to divide this by race, by white evangelicals and black evangelicals, what you would find is that for black evangelicals, the abortion issue is fundamentally about poverty. You know, the higher the poverty rate in a community, the higher the abortion rate will be in that community.
Absolutely.
You know, and so if our main strategy was to overturn the conservative court, make it a conservative court, what you would find is that those judges vote against our well-being as black evangelicals. For example, they voted for de facto segregation just recently in schools, and they also consistently vote against affirmative action. Our strategy is to address abortion head-on by addressing the issue of poverty. So like programs like TANF or WIC, they work to give women the ability to choose.
You're talking about social welfare programs. But you go right to the heart of the discussion, which is both black and white evangelicals, both are against abortion.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
They fundamentally agree on that point. However, in this election, once again, you see the vast majority of African-American evangelicals supporting the pro-choice candidate, this time Barack Obama.
That's right. And they do that because they know that if they were to vote according to the religious right way of looking at abortion, they would actually be voting against themselves.
So what's the matter with Kansas kind of issue? Randall and Lisa, this is John Hockenberry up in Boston. And Randall, you actually made a bit of history on the program. You're the first guest to come in the same week to the studio in the morning. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to ask a question broadly. It's my impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the African-American evangelical constituency for the longest time was anti-Catholic fundamentally, and that changed in 1960. Randall, Lisa?
Well, that is true, and that characterization applies to the white evangelical community as well. As I was growing up as an evangelical an evangelical household. I remember my parents telling me at one point that if I ever married a Catholic, that I would be disowned. And this was not an uncommon sentiment among evangelicals in the 1950s and 1960s. The 1960 campaign did indeed change that. In fact, I'm lecturing on that later today up at Columbia in my religion, the civil rights course. Mm-hmm. And the issue was the arrest of Martin Luther King in Atlanta during a sit-in at Rich's department store, and he was carted off to the penitentiary that night by cover of darkness. And Harris Wofford prevailed on the Democratic candidate, the Democratic nominee, John Kennedy, to make a phone call to Coretta Scott King, offering his support and his condolences, his sympathy.
It's a great story. We're actually having Harris Wofford on the show tomorrow.
Oh, but, good.
Lisa, I wonder wonder if you have any insights into that shift that took place, not so much the story of Martin Luther King, but this sort of broad dynamic of moving from a single-issue anti-Catholic and maybe some other issues for African-American evangelicals to something very, very different and much more socially astute, as you've already pointed out.
Yeah, well, I think it actually fundamentally has to do with the ways that evangelicals as a whole have been embracing a wider or broader understanding of what is the actual gospel, that the gospel is actually, or the good news of Scripture, is that God is actually restoring the relationships between all broken relationships that happened at the fall, between men and women and different races and us and God. And so, and because of that, we're coming closer to the Catholic value for justice and the Catholic value for anti-poverty work and things like that. So I think we're all finding reasons to join together and work together against poverty and for justice.
I'd really like to get to one central point that you talk about in your book, Lisa, and you also talk about, Randall, and that is white and black evangelicals fundamentally look at the way religion and their government affects their everyday lives. So when African Americans take a look at the world around them, tell us about some of the factors that drive them to the Democratic Party, although they don't necessarily represent their religious views.
That's really good. Well, I actually am really fascinated by the difference between these two groups and how they see patriotism, for example. Because patriotism, when white evangelicals look at it, they're thinking about the idea of America, apple pie, baseball, prosperity. But for African-American evangelicals, the main thing that comes up is the web of systems that actually make America, the education system, the health system, the penal system. And that America First theme, it actually, the way that they frame it, it makes it so that America can do no wrong. And black evangelicals understand that actually America has sinned and has never apologized for that. And, you know, we know that people of faith were the ones who actually led the abolitionist movement and led the suffrage movement and led the civil rights movement. It was not a benevolent nation acting out of its own inherent goodness. It was black evangelicals understand that patriotism
right.
is calling evangelicals, calling America to its best self.
And Randall, we've run out of time, so we're going to perhaps have to invite you back for the third time. So thank
sure.
you both for joining us. Randall Balmer, professor of American religious history at Barnard College. Thank you. And Lisa Sharon Harper, author of Evangelical Does Not Equal Republican or Democrat.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.